The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear, we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's. That's wrong. We must take America back.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is the National Intel Report. I'm your host, John Stattmiller, with you on this Friday. Yeah, I'm live today. I was Memorexed at least partially yesterday. In the middle of a damn interview. That has never happened in my radio career. But at any rate, things have been chewing gummed and band-aided here for at least another day until we get the new board in, and we're finding other equipment that's failing. Folks, we are okay. Get it where you want, because you just blasted my ears there. It's a little iffy. Well, don't mess with it. Don't look at it. Don't breathe on it. Don't even think about touching it. Yeah. Okay. All right. At any rate, yeah, folks, so, you know, we've been asking for donations to the network. I don't do this, and you know from other people who have been on the show with me, making the statement, you don't like doing this. No, I do not. I really don't. But we are in need of your help and some need of some funds. So please give us a call here at 800-724-2719. It doesn't look like this is going to hold up today. You hear this hissing going on? Yeah. Keep talking. Mary had a little lamb. Its fleece was white as snow. Oh, your test wiggling there? Yeah, I'm okay. Yeah. You know, I can put up the little lisp I hear in my ear, just as long as it's not overdriving through the network and whatever else. Fine. Okay, good. At any rate, 800-724-2719. I don't think that's going to help. I think your board's a little bit too hot. I think, Mikey, that's where it's coming from. At any rate, I'm sorry? It's so low. Well, I'll tell you what. I've got my headphone return on here. I 1 out of 10 settings. It's on a number 1, and it's loud. So I don't know what you got jacked up there, but the least you can screw with that, the better, so I can at least get through this program. Okay, that sounds good to you. Okay, good. All right. Don't breathe. Walk out of the room. 800-724-2719. Extension number 3. Mike will be there to answer the phone for you. Take your information. Or you can go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org. On the donate page, you ever been there, folks? You ever been there? Go take a look at it. Hit the donate button. That'll take you to PayPal. Our address is there as well. RBN 2251 2251. Double Creek Drive. Two words. Double Creek Drive. Number 302, Round Rock. Two words. Round Rock, Texas. 78664. So there you have it. Is there a reason why you haven't donated? Is there a reason why you've never donated? Examine that thinking. Pick up the phone or grab your mouse and start clicking away. A lot of people won't donate. They'll just hang back and let everybody else do it. Now, they're well-intentioned, but they never take the action. At any rate. You know, over the years, And this has been getting progressively worse. Dogs just shooting cops. I'm sorry, cops just shooting dogs. Did I say dogs shooting cops? And it's more and more of an occurrence, I noticed. Well, there are reasons why. They have given them standards that if you're in fear for your life, go ahead and blow the damn dog away. And this is really amazing because many people don't know how to handle dogs. I don't give a damn if you're a cop. I don't care if you're a private citizen. You know, you might have a little problem if you jump over the junkyard fence that's locked and you know you're trespassing and the dog wants to turn you into a chewy toy. Well, yeah, you might have a problem. But generally speaking, you know how many dogs or people are killed by vicious dogs? About as many as are killed by lightning strikes. So that'll give you an idea. You know anybody in your life? Know anybody personally? Yeah, you've heard the stories. Know anybody that's ever been struck by lightning? You ever talked to them? That's how damn rare they are. Well, and this came up, and again, this is in Roseville, Michigan, pretty close to my old tromping grounds up there. Been covering a lot on Michigan. And this is kind of one of these stories that it's, yeah, that's okay, but no, it's not okay. Out of Roseville, for months, the Free Thought Project has brought international attention to a very serious problem of police on canine violence, with recent court rulings allowing police to kill citizens' pets simply for barking too loudly. Law enforcement agencies now have no fear of retaliation for taking the life of man's best friend. So the story from Roseville about police-involved incident dealing with a citizen's pet gets a pass, as I said, sort of. Now, just this past Sunday, a pit bull named Chewy, its owners called police after he escaped their backyard. Now, these are the owners calling the police. Now, patiently, the police pursued the elusive dog for 90 minutes before resorting to tasering the dog in an attempt to get control, the control pole, that's what they call it, around his neck. Now, bystanders recorded cell phone footage of the incident, bears this out. The video of the dog being tased has now gone viral and sparked outrage on social media. Okay, I will say this at this point. To get control of that dog, tasing it rather than shooting it, yeah. You know, if you ever seen what a pit bull can do to somebody? Yeah, if I would have had a taser and I was charged with getting control of it, I might have tased it myself. But by Tuesday, residents were prepared to voice their concerns to the city council. At issue was how many times the dog had been tased. And the police chief, James Berlin, told reporters the dog was tased one time. And, you know, this video, there's no, all you hear is sound and a little bit of jiggly action and no explanation. He said the other clicking that you hear after initial tasing is called an arch switch. The arch switch emits a clicking sound, which bystanders interpret as additional voltage being delivered to the dog. He said, I don't think that's a very appropriate for a dog to be shocked, said Steve Bodzar of Ann Arbor officials. Confirmed Chewy received only one shock, which lasted for 5 seconds. Now, at any rate, Chewy's owner, who supposedly wished to remain anonymous, are happy to get their beloved pet back, alive and safe and sound. They told reporters that they were more concerned that Chewy would be run over by a speeding car, but as the Free Thought Project has frequently reported, the couple had more to fear from police than from motorists. That's because body camera footage and cell phone footage reveal the police are very trigger happy when it comes to shooting what they consider to be a vicious dog. You know, and this has been on the upswing, and now I'm starting to understand why. Killing an animal by discharging one service pistol is doing no service to society. If their jobs are to protect and serve, that role also extends to the citizens' pets as well. Okay, and you all know how we feel about our pets. We mourn for more of our pets passing than we might say a relative or people in general around the planet. We can feel that pain of a dog or a cat's death or a pet bird or whatever more than we can for maybe even a relative, which I always found to be really strange. Now, if their job is to protect, as I said, and serve, the role also extends to the citizens' pets as well. There are hero cops out there, though, who get it, who aren't afraid of barking dogs, who are properly trained and know how to intervene in a situation involving vicious growling dogs. In a recent story, we highlighted one Braves cop's successful attempt at getting two equally vicious dogs into the back of his squad car, in which I'm going to have this video posted, and you got to look at it yourself. This guy was cool, and you're going to love the ending of it. Suspense, teaser, warning. Now, we applaud brave officers such as he and even the unarmed officer in Roseville, Michigan. We say thank you for not killing Chewy and getting him safely home. Now, even though you had to tase him to do it, at least you didn't shoot the beloved runaway pet. Now, according to Petful, police officers lack the appropriate training in dealing with vicious animals. Officers are often in... God, I just had a terrible thought that I will not say on air. Officers are often in fear for their safety, and they choose to shoot the dog. But Petful offers some helpful suggestions. They suggest police officers read the Department of Justice Guide on Dealing with Animal Encounters titled... The Problem of Dog-Related Incidents and Encounters. Now, and it gives you a couple of examples. In other words, animals are really intuitive. They read body language, okay? And if you're that disconnected from the rest of your planet not to know that, well... then I don't even really see the point of finishing the story for you. But if you do recognize that there is an interconnectivity and communication, you know, I am learning all sorts of things about animals and human interaction and how we have mistook animals, you know, wild animals all these years. I am thoroughly amazed. You know what they're now starting to discover, folks? That sharks are social animals. You know, the things that have been pretty much the same for millions and millions, a hell of a lot longer than we've been around, are social animals. And they're not this meat-grinding, mindless eating machine that was told us in Jaws, thank you, scared the crap out of people for how many years? That these sharks, I mean, yeah, they're hunting, yeah, they're looking for food, but they are particular. When I get this idea that they are particular on what they eat and how they eat it, I envision a little shark with a little fork in one hand, a little knife in his other little flipper, rather, and, you know, a little bib on. But, you know, they're maniacal stuff that we get in our heads and we believe. And, you know, how many times, I'll give an example. How many times... have you killed a spider that you found in your house? You just didn't like it? Man, you'd grab that newspaper or that shoe and whack. Dead spider. Cockroaches, I can see. We got they call them palmetto bugs in Florida and in the Caribbean. In Texas, they call them cockroaches, but these things are huge. I mean, a small child could put a saddle on its back and ride it, for God's sakes. But... you know, spiders and things like that, when I can. I don't give a damn if it's a hornet or a bat that gets in my house. If I don't have to kill it, I won't. It's not my job on this planet to go around killing things that are a little bit inconvenient to me. It took me a day and a half to get a bat out of my house. But I got that little sucker out of there. And the weird thing about it was he didn't know how he got in. And I couldn't show him the door. Well, at least for a day and a half, he finally figured it out. Or I figured out how to give him the right signals to point him to the door to get him out. Be that as it may. But my first reaction is not to kill it. Can I just get rid of it? But cops nowadays, If they show up at your house, they're on your property. That dog approaches them. They feel absolute, no grief whatsoever, pulling on a service weapon and killing your animal. Because why? It posed a threat to him. Now, did you invite him on the property? Well, you may or may not have. If you did, then chances are you would have been there to restrain the dog or make sure he's put someplace that he doesn't have access to a stranger walking on your property. Most of these videos that you see are cops on YouTube and whatever else. These are cops that are showing up and not necessarily invited. They're there because there's a call from a neighbor or something else, or mistaken identity, wrong address, serving papers, storming, playing stormtroopers, eliminate, secure the area, kill anything that gives you any crap. And that's basically what they do. But, Mike, I'm going to send this video over to you. This video is so cool. And I want to give some kudos to this guy. Dogs Charge police officer in Meridian, Idaho. His name is David Gomez. Now, he's obviously, the video starts, he's in a rural area, a residential area, rather, and he's responding to a call of a couple of vicious dogs. So there he is on the street, and he gets out of his car, and he sees a couple of dogs running around, and he calls to them, and one dog comes to him. The other one is a little bit more aggressive, and the first one that shows up takes his cue from the more aggressive one. So they're standing there barking. And the whole time, the cop is talking to him. Well, they calm down enough. They walk across the street and lay down on somebody's yard, and they're just laying there looking around panting. So the cop gets the idea that, wait a minute, rather than calling animal control, well, let's see if I can't do something here. So he opens up the rear door of his cruiser and calls the dogs to get in the back of the car. Well, after a little cajoling, by the way, the first one in was the least aggressive dog who took the tip. It was the more aggressive one. The one dog jumps in the back seat. The other dog is standing there, barks a few times, looks around. He's a boxer, looks around. And finally, he jumps in the car. Cop shuts the door. Cop takes him down to the pound. Didn't freak out, didn't panic, didn't pull out a weapon, didn't start killing things. But that's the attitude, folks. And what I was thinking before when I said I couldn't think of what was going through my mind on air, well, now I've thought about it a little bit and I cleaned it up. You know, there's a lot of human animals out there as well. And how are they dealing with them? The same way that they're dealing with dogs now. Doesn't seem to be any distinction. And I've said this before and it's worth repeating. If there is any way, in God's green earth that you can get a suspect, a ne'er-do-well out there that's supposedly the scum of the earth and, hell, he's Jack the Ripper and Genghis Khan wrapped into one. If there's any way to take this guy down and get him in custody without killing him, double plus good. You know what I mean? I mean, I've seen a lot of these shootings. You could have taken a guy's arm off, or you could have taken his legs out from under him. You could have done a number of things short of killing him. Now, in today's world, if you kill one of their canines, oh, brother boy, you would think you just shot one of those cops' mamas or daddies because they're part of the team. All the while, they regard your dog as just a nuisance and a threat. You boys in blue out there, you'd better change your attitudes a little bit or go get another damn job, would you? Please? God. Mike, I'm putting that video over to you right now. folks, it's a hoot nowadays. The stuff that people believe. The stuff that people believe that's really based in nothing except their own fear. God, I wouldn't want to be that fearful in this life. I was kind of shocked. One of those big old Texas-sized wasps came in the network. There's Julie going, the secretary out in the front. I said, you didn't freak out. She says, it's just a wasp. I was very proud of her. She shushed it out the front door.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say. Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
PatriotPrepared.com carries the leading brands of storable food from Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest. Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting GMO-free nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855, the number 2, keep it today.
Some say life will beat you down, break your heart, steal your crown.
Why is Tom in Philly picking flat fly crap out of my sugar bowl? He says, you forgot the date amidst the audio issue. Jeez, Tom. Gosh. My friend PJ Coyle. He said, last night there was no access to RBN website or audio again. The Streama.com audio system also went down completely and started playing part of 20 January 17. That was the repeat there, PJ. After the equipment decided it didn't like me yesterday, that was a rerun that was played. All right. And I do not understand this. Probably not on to do a live program tomorrow, Saturday, the Barden Report. I don't see why not, unless you're down on your end. At any rate, now that I got that stuff out of the way. I'm amazed here, folks. You know, the biggest assault on this nation's economy has been the fractionalized reserve banking. And it has to do with this thought that the government allowed them, upon receiving a deposit, that they could turn around and wow, where's the thinking coming from this legislation that it could allow that bank to loan out up to 10 times that deposit. So you deposit $100, they turn around, they record it, and then voila, we got $1,000 we can lend. Therein lies the boogaboo of inflation, which is actually devaluation of said dollar. Now, this is not even talking about the middleman's interest game, compound mortgage. I mean, boy, what whiz-bang you thought this one up. Gee, I'll loan you $100,000 for a house, and over 30 years, you get to pay me back $300. Wow! You think they know a little bit about devaluation or inflation, maybe? Yeah. Well, who creates the money? That's first off. Most people assume that money is created by governments or perhaps central banks. In reality, as noted by the Bank of England, Britain's central bank, 97% of all money in circulation is created by private banks through that very mechanism I just told you about. But how do private banks create money? We've all been taught that banks first take in deposits, then they loan out those deposits to folks who want to borrow. Now, on the surface, you know what? That sounds reasonable. Because, you know, how can you loan to somebody, you know, feature this. You're in your garage on a weekend, you're working on something, and a neighbor comes by, complains that his lawnmower blade just flew off and cut his dog's head off, but his wife says, I got to finish the yard. So he comes over to borrow your mower. Now, would you be able to loan that guy your lawnmower if it wasn't yours in the first place? Or did you go into somebody else's garage in the neighborhood, take out a lawnmower, and loan it to the guy that was looking for it? You know the answer to that. That's one of those rhetorical questions. And as I said, we've been taught that the banks first take in the deposits, and then they loan out those deposits that people want to borrow. But this is the myth. The Bank of England, the German Central Bank, have explained that loans are extended before deposits exist, and that loans create deposits. Mikey, without danger of blowing up the board here, let me play this. This was an official video released by the Bank of England. Ready?
Banks create additional money whenever they make a loan. Now, while this is nothing new, it is sometimes overlooked as the main way in which money is created. And it runs contrary to the view sometimes put forward that banks can only lend out deposits that they already have. In fact, loans create deposits, not the other way around.
Well, loans create deposits. Isn't that amazing? Let's take the break. We'll take a 3-minute break and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hey there, quick question for you. Would you be okay with more energy, more endurance, thicker, healthier hair, a better mood, reduced appearance of wrinkles, improved sleep, improved blood pressure and cholesterol profiles, improved vision, improved memory? Okay then. Well now, have you heard of Nature's Youth RSF? It's from the anti-aging experts at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. See, at Nature's Youth, they understand exactly what it means to provide top quality health products. And Nature's Youth customers not only improve their health, they know they're also providing their body with the right nourishment to maintain that peak performance and fight the aging process. If health, wellness, and nutrition are what you desire, choose Nature's Youth RSF. I did. You see, you're gonna get older. It's just up to you how you feel when you get there. Get started today. Nature's Youth RSF. Simple to use, simple to order. Go to naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com.
Extendivite,
a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Do you have difficulty taking supplements? Are you searching for a high-quality, complete nutritional drink that your whole family will love? NutraMedical's Life Support has arrived. All of your daily nutritional requirements in one quick, delicious drink. Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support is a proprietary blend of vegan protein, activated vitamins, essential minerals, amino acids, probiotics, green tea, digestive enzymes, anti-inflammatories, cancer prevention, detoxification, and much more. Your body will high-five you for this one. Life Support is the best complete nutrition meal replacement on the market. Whether you are an elite athlete, have post-operative challenges, chronic illness, elderly, or a family that just wants a quick, delicious drink, try Dr. Bill Deagle's Life Support for optimized nutrition in one great-tasting smoothie. Just add cold water, almond milk, fruit, or anything else you like. NutraMedical's Life Support. Try our great-tasting chocolate or vanilla today. Call 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com. NutraMedical.com for the whole family.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out in school? That's what they said the Constitution was about.
Now, within the body of the story that I'm telling you people out there, there are mysteries that are to be solved. Remember us reporting that in Greece, banks were doing bail-ins, bailouts, and bail-ins? First, they took the commercial accounts away from people, business owners, and had commercial, well, your money's not there anymore, it's ours. And then they turn around and start doing it to private depositors. And they basically came out of the one-liner, well, it's not your money anyhow, with no explanation. We're going to explain exactly how they're able to do this and do it legally and not find their keister behind bars. Now, whenever a bank makes that loan, simultaneously creates a matching deposit in the borrower's bank account, thereby creating new money. The reality of how money is created today differs from the description found in some economics textbooks. Rather than banks receiving deposits when households save and then lending them out, banks lending creates deposits. One common misconception is that banks act simply as intermediaries, lending out the deposits that savers place with them. In this view, deposits are typically created by the saving decisions of the households, and banks then lend out those existing deposits to borrowers. For example, to companies looking to finance investment or an individual wanting to purchase a house. Now, in reality, in the modern-day economy, commercial banks are the creators of deposit money. Rather than banks lending out deposits that are placed with them, They act as lending creates deposits, the reverse of the sequence typically described in the textbooks. Commercial banks create money in the form of bank deposits by making new loans. When a bank makes a loan, for example, to someone taking out a mortgage to buy a house, it does not typically do so by giving them thousands of pounds worth of banknotes. Instead, it creates their bank account with bank deposit of the size of the mortgage. Now, this got some ambiguity here because it says that it credits their bank with the account of the size of the mortgage. Is that the term of the loan? That $100,000 house that turns into $300,000? At that moment, new money is created. For this reason, some economists have referred to bank depositors as fountain pen money, created at the stroke of a banker's pen when they approve loans. Now, this description of money creation contrasts with the notion that banks can only lend out pre-existing money outlined in the previous section that I just read you. Bank deposits are simply a record of how much the bank itself owes its customers. So they are a liability to the bank, not an asset that could be lent out. Back in the 60s, the Federal Reserve Bank out of Chicago published a booklet called Modern Money Mechanics. And this little booklet said in part, the banks do not really pay out loans from the money they receive as deposits. If they did this, no additional money would be created. Well, really? Whoa, what a sin. What they do when they make loans is to accept promissory notes in exchange for credits to the borrower's transaction accounts. Now, monetary experts and economics professors, Randall Ray, explained to the Washington blog that bank deposits are bank IOUs. As I said, Richard Werner, economics professor who obtained his PhD in economics from Oxford, was the first Shimomura fellow at the Research Institute for Capital Formation at the Development Bank of Japan. Visiting researcher at the Institute for Monetary and Economic Studies at the Bank of Japan, visiting scholar at the Institute for Monetary and Fiscal Studies at the Ministry of Finance, and chief economist of Jardine Fleming, was granted access to study a bank's books and confirmed that private banks create money when they simply create fictitious deposits into borrowers' accounts. And Werner explained it this way. He said, what banks do is to simply reclassify their accounts payable items arising from the act of lending as customer, quote-unquote, deposits. And the general public, when receiving payment in the form of a transfer of bank deposits, believes that a form of money had been paid into the bank. No balance is drawn down to make a payment to the borrower. The bank does not actually make any money available to the borrower. No transfer of funds from anywhere to the customer or, indeed, the customer's account takes place. There is no equal reduction in the balance of another account to defray the borrower. Instead, the bank simply reclassified its liabilities, changing the accounts payable, quote-unquote, obligation arising from the bank loan and that contract to another liability category called customer deposits. Wow. Now, while the borrower is given the impression that the bank had transferred money from its capital reserves or other accounts to the borrower's account, as indeed major theories of banking, the financial intermediation and fractional reserve theories erroneously claim, in reality, this is not the case. Neither the bank nor the customer deposited any money, nor were there any funds from anywhere outside the bank utilized to make the deposit in the borrower's account. Indeed, there was no depositing of any funds whatsoever. The bank's liability is simply renamed a bank deposit. Their IOU, folks. They just simply just recategorize it, wave a magic wand, and make it a bank deposit. Now, banks create money when they grant a loan. They invent a fictitious customer's deposit, which the central bank and all the users of the monetary system consider to be, quote-unquote, money, indistinguishable from real deposits, not newly invented by the banks. Thus, banks do not just grant credit, they create credit, and simultaneously, they create money. Now, instead of discharging their liability to pay out the loans, the banks merely reclassify their liabilities originating from loan contracts from what should be an accounts payable item to customer deposit. Now, this Professor Warner explains the reason that banks, but nobody else, can create money out of thin air is that they are the only institution exempted from normal accounting rules. Specifically, every other company would be busted for fraudulent accounting if they conjured up new money out of thin air by reclassifying a liability. Think about that, folks. You got a business. You got accounts receivable and accounts payable. Just one day, you know, gosh, I got more goes out than I got goes into. So I just switched the name of the accounts. Well, my liabilities now became my assets. Hooray for me, I'm out of debt. Wow. You think you'd go to jail for that? Yeah, I think you would. Now, as I said, and then they're conjuring this new money out of thin air by reclassifying a liability. But the banks have pushed through exemptions so that they don't have to follow normal accounting rules. Now, what enables banks to create credit and hence money in their exemption from the client money rules? Ever heard that term? Client money rules? Thanks to this exemption, they are allowed to keep customers' deposits on their own balance sheet. This means that depositors who deposit their money with a bank are no longer the legal owners of this money. I'll repeat that. This means that depositors who deposit their money with a bank are no longer the legal owners of that money. Instead, they are just one of the general creditors of the bank whom it owes money to. It also means that the bank is able to access the records of customer deposits held with it and invent a new customer deposit that had not actually been paid in, but instead is reclassified account payable liability of the bank arising from a loan contract. Now, what makes banks unique and explains the combination of lending and deposit taking under their one roof is the more fundamental fact that they do not have to segregate clients' accounts and thus are able to engage in an exercise of relabeling and mixing different liabilities, specifically by reassigning their accounts payable liabilities incurred when entering into a loan agreement to another category of liability called customer deposit. Now, what distinguishes banks from non-banks is their ability to create credit and money through lending, which is accomplished by booking what actually are accounts payable liabilities as imaginary customer deposits. We create an imaginary person. And this in turn made possible by a particular regulation that renders banks unique, their exemption from the client money rules. Now, Warner gave a concrete example of British law for banking and non-banking institutions. Sound fraudulent? Well, Professor Warner thinks so as well. This is what he had to say.
That's how the money supply is created. So historically, if you go back into how this system came about, it was fraud. There's no doubt about that. Historically, and of course, as the bankers became more powerful, they started to help, you know, write the laws. And so today, technically, many lawyers would argue it's not illegal what they're doing. Doesn't mean we shouldn't try to challenge it legally. That's another topic. There's actually some grounds in which one could challenge the system legally.
That was the end of it. Don't panic. Now, what does it all mean? The implications of money creation by private banks? Mainstream economists believe that private debt doesn't even exist as a force that acts on the economy. For example, take Uncle Helicopter Ben, Ben Bernanke, and Paul Krugman. Assume that huge levels of household debt don't hurt the economy because, well, more debt among households just means the savers have loaned them money. That is, that this is a net wash to the economy. Now, to make this assumption, they rely on a myth debunked, as we just did, that banks can only loan as much money as they have on deposit. In reality, 143 years of history shows that excessive private debt in of itself can cause depressions. I'm not talking about you mentally. I'm talking about the economy. Moreover, Professor Warner points out that attempts to shore up banking systems with capital requirements, such as with the Basel Accords, are doomed to failure since they don't recognize that banks create money at all. Yeah, it just ain't happening. It's been going on for 143 years, but no, we don't see it, so therefore it ain't. You know, if you're not in that forest to hear the tree fall, does it really make a sound? Now, the Basel rules were doomed to failure since they consider banks as financial intermediaries, when in actual fact they are the creators of the money supply. Since banks invent money as fictitious deposits, it can readily be shown that capital adequacy-based bank regulation does not have to restrict bank activity. Banks can create money and then hence can arrange for money to be made available to purchase newly issued shares of that increase in their bank capital. In other words, banks could simply invent the money that is then used to increase their capital. This is what Barclays Bank did in 2008. In order to avoid the use of tax money to shore up the bank's capital, Barclays raised £5.8 billion in new equity from Gulf sovereign wealth investors by, it has transpired, lending the money that they didn't have. And as explained in Werner's, he says that Barclays implemented a standard loan operation, thus inventing the $5.8 billion pound deposit lent to the investor. This deposit was then used to purchase the newly issued Barclays shares. Thus, in this case, the bank liability originating from the bank loan to the Gulf investor transmuted from one, accounts payable liability, to two, a customer's deposit liability, to finally end up three, as equity into their bank. They paid themselves 5.8 billion pounds out of nothing. Oh, we got the shares to show for it. Oh, God. Another category of the liability side of the bank's balance sheet, effectively, Barclays invented its own capital. Now, this certainly was cheaper for the UK taxpayer than using tax money, as publicity-listed companies in general are not allowed to lend money to firms for the purpose of buying their stocks. It was not in conformity when the Companies Act of 2006, and it's a prohibition, by the way, of the assistance for acquisition of shares in public companies, but regulators were willing to overlook this. Now, Werner argued that using central bank or bank credit creation is, in principle, the most cost-effective way to clean up the banking system and ensure that bank credit growth recovers quickly. The Barclays case is, however, evidence that stricter capital requirements do not necessarily prevent banks from expanding credit and money creation, since their creation of deposits generates more purchasing power with the increased bank capital can also be funded. Now, moreover, Werner points out that banks create the boom-bust cycle by lending too much for speculative and non-productive purposes. Here's Professor Richard Werner again.
Now, briefly, what causes the recurring boom and bust cycles, and what is the role banks are playing? Banks create the money supply, and you can divide the money creation into two streams. You may not be aware, but not everything is in GDP. We talk about the economy and the need to have GDP growth and so on, and the media report the latest GDP growth figures, but GDP actually includes very specific things. Let's call it the real economy. What it does not include is financial transactions, asset transactions, property transactions. The housing market, the transactions there not included. The reason for that is actually fairly sensible, because GDP, the fundamental definition is value-added transactions. So that's the verdict by the statisticians on the financial sector, on the financial transactions. It doesn't add value. Why? Well, it's a zero-sum game. If you're gaining through a financial transaction, somebody must have lost the same amount. It is a zero-sum game. So the more people are playing financial markets, or asset markets in general, the more unproductive the economy gets, because in total, it's plus minus zero. It's divide and rule, just playing people off against each other. They're betting against each other all day. Anyway, so we've got these two types of transactions. And the money supply and the money creation, which takes place through bank credit, as we saw, credit creation, needs to be divided into these two streams. So credit for the real economy, for GDP, that's real circulation credit, and credit for transactions that do not contribute to GDP.
All right. Excuse me, Professor. We've got to take this break. By the way, an off-air listener said Social Security Administration makes people put Social Security Bank money in their bank accounts through direct deposit. You don't even get to cash anything.
From Numana, Legacy, and Heaven's Harvest, Patriot Prepared. Our name says it all. We're dedicated to empowering you to be self-reliant and confident in any circumstance. Whether you want to be prepared in the event of an emergency or you're an outdoor sports enthusiast, PatriotPrepared.com has prepackaged meals and kits for your entire family. Legacy, Heaven's Harvest, and Numana are known for high-quality, great-tasting, GMO-free, nutritious food with no chemical preservatives. Simple to prepare, easy to store, gluten-free and organic high-quality nutrition options with a 25-year shelf life. You can't beat the feeling of being food secure when you need it most. So go to PatriotPrepared.com right now to pick up your supply of high-quality storable food for your family, because it makes good sense to be prepared. That's PatriotPrepared.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Hi, folks. Let's wind the clocks back 60 years. Food was different. Food provided health and nutrition, and using supplements was minimal. Unfortunately, now we have chemicals, GMOs, herbicides, and pesticides that can be quite lethal in the name of our food supply and, of course, the ever-loving dollar. Supplementing our diets can be very important to stay healthy. Cleansing from daily intruders to the body might be critical. Live strong and take charge. Log on to GetTheTea.com. Our herbal tea is a great way to cleanse from intruders. Our supplements is a great way to maintain and improve your health. When your health is not up to par, go to GetTheTea.com. No GMOs, no fillers, and organic. And very helpful in keeping you at the top of your game. Life is too short to feel, you know what I mean. Stay in the game. At the top of your game with GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Again, GetTheTea.com.
Let me take this phone call because there's a little bit more to this, and I want to cover this because this gives you a bird's eye view of this complicating, complicated banking system, macro, microeconomics, so on and so forth. It's such a big mystery that nobody can seem to figure it out. Laura in Michigan. Hello, Laura.
Hi, John.
Hi.
I don't know if you saw Donald Trump's press conference with Angela Merkel.
Not today. No, I did not. No.
Okay. He was all excited about this apprenticeship program she was telling him about. You know, he's all into jobs and everything in charter schools. Well, I'll tell you what that program is. You know, remember she's a communist from East Germany.
Right.
Her program in Germany is the school-to-work program that the Clintons wanted to put in back when the Clintons were in power. It's the Soviet Polytechnical School.
Yep.
And what happens, just to give you an overview, I think you should really have Charlotte Isabey, and she'd be better at explaining it than I can. But anyway, your child, they're already starting it with the career days and whatever. Well, what this whole thing is, in eighth grade, they decide what your child's going to do. Your child's really not going to be able to pick. It's going to be for whatever they need for the job market.
Just as the banks believe that your money that you deposit is now theirs, you send your kid off to one of their mind-numbing mills, and they consider your child to be theirs to mold like a ball of clay in whatever form they want.
Right.
Yeah.
For instance, Las Vegas, they give the kids aptitude tests. And guess what? All the aptitude tests came out that the kids should be in the hospitality restaurant business. Because what do they need in that area? Hospitality restaurant business, right?
Yeah, right, right.
Also, the problem with this program is, say you got a son who's very bright. He wants to be a doctor. Well, there's going to be a panel of people, school work panel. They're going to decide what your child can do, what charter school he has to go to. And maybe these people on the panel say, oh, your parents are Trump supporters? You're not going to get in to be a doctor. You're going to be in the welding charter school. You know, so just going to end up with this charter school thing. You're going to end up a feeder for the corporations.
Well, and Laura, most this manipulation of minds and bodies, excuse me, came to light for a lot of people when they realized that these school counselors and whatever at high schools, you know, they get the kid in there and they'd start making recommendations based on their performance in school, what they should be doing. Now, this is only after they manipulated the classroom environment to begin with, grading and passing kids on some convoluted bell curve imaginings. And then, you know, we can't hurt, you know, the lower part of this class's feelings. So, you know, we'll pass the stupid ones along with the bright ones. And then they got the idea that, well, wait a minute, maybe the curriculum shouldn't be that hard in the first place. Rather than taking those that excelled and leaving them to continue to excel and develop their little minds and their capabilities, now, one size fits all. Welcome to the cookie cutter school system.
Yeah, see, the whole idea of our American school system was a liberal arts school.
Yep.
I don't mean liberal and progressive. I mean, you know, overall, you learn all kinds of things, you know? And then you decide what vocation you want to go into.
And has been evidenced by everybody's kids and how fast they can absorb stuff. That is the creative era of the mind and building how it does things. Oh, no, no. They've taken control of it. Hey, Laura, I thank you for the call. I've got to take the top of the hour break, and I want to get back into finishing out the mysteries of banking.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.